All right, everyone, thank you so much for joining us once again on Did You Know? You know, we spend a lot of time talking about the A2L transition, especially in the residential side, in the mitigation controls and the strategies that we're going to be using for residential applications. But we don't always talk a lot about what's happening in the commercial side, whether it's in commercial HVAC or it's in the refrigeration sector. And there's a lot of questions in the industry. A lot of people are concerned with refrigerants, and we're just trying to break those fears because there's not a lot of fear involved with this. It really comes down to just education. It's not our first refrigerant transition. Nope. Yeah, it's just another rodeo. And so... Sure. So we need to help educate the industry on what's happening. So I'm very fortunate to spend some time with Johnson Controls to talk about solutions for our A2L detection as well as mitigation strategies, and hopefully keep this industry as simple as possible, because we don't need 1,000 controls and 1,000 strategies. We can use intelligent controls to be able to simplify all of that. And this is a very intriguing product, and I just think we ought to be able to help the industry understand what's available to them and how easy this whole A2L transition can be.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so let's walk me through where we're at as far as mitigation controls and what the solution provides us.
Sure, I'd be glad to. And I think the key word here is smart or intelligent controls that help with serviceability. This is Johnson Controls under the Penn brand name, newest modular electronic control system called System 550. The module on the left-hand side here is the control module. This is where all the brains are. The module in the middle is simply a transformer. It's a power module.
Power supply, sure.
So it provides the 24 volts, either AC or DC, that's needed to power the electronics. And then We're not using it in this particular application that I have configured, but the last module here is what's called an expansion module, and it will provide either two more relay outputs, or you can have an expansion module that will provide two analog outputs. So you can have a combination of relay and analog outputs up to a total of 10 outputs.
Okay, yeah.
But to talk specifically about A2L leak detection and mitigation, this is a full functioning control, meaning that it supports both single and multi-stage with temperature, humidity, and pressure sensor inputs, as well as it has the full capabilities of A2L leak detection and mitigation. What I mean by full capabilities is that the controller and the sensor, and this is an example of the sensor, in combination are considered an RDS, or refrigerant detection system.
Absolutely.
So they have all of the requirements that are under UL 60335, both -2-40 and -289 to qualify as an RDS.
40 and 89. So technically this could even be used in a residential style application if need be.
Correct.
And so with the modular, now I'm starting to see what you meant by modular. So this is actually a full control network, and it's expandable for the amount of outputs that we would need to be able to control.
That's right. Not only that, but the backplane is communicating from the controller to the expansion module via Modbus, and that's what gives us the intelligent A2L leak detection and mitigation, because it's doing a handshake with one or more A2L sensors.
Really?
So it knows, you can see on this particular sensor here, that the refrigerant type R454A is marked on the sensor. The OEM that integrates this into their equipment will also select the refrigerant that they're using, and it's going to do a handshake with the sensor to make sure that you've plugged in the right sensor.
So it's a communicating network.
And it's a communicating network, correct.
No joke.
So if I have a large piece of equipment, maybe it's a package rooftop system and I have to use multiple sensors, I will also, in addition to selecting the refrigerant type, I'll select the number of sensors that I use. And our particular controller is set, the factory setting for the digital trip point on the A2L is a 20% LFL. Or a lower flammability limit.
You bet.
If it, if you want to warn below that, you also have the capability with this controller to actually set a LFL level lower than that digital trip point.
For a different alarm set point.
We have a lot of customers that'll want 15, 10%, give me an initial warning so we know what's going on. So, it's pretty flexible there in how you want to set up your system.
You know, I see this as a solution not just for the equipment that is going to be for either HVAC or refrigeration, but we've had a lot of questions and concerns from, say, hydronic, you know, boiler manufacturers that are operating in the same mechanical room as an A2L, say, an A2L air handler. Yeah. And they want to make sure that they control their ignition controls on their device. Well, now it becomes a simple modular component that could be introduced into any application as a standalone A2L mitigation strategy.
Yeah, and this has the capability of doing staging, runtime optimization, so that it actually is smart enough to know if I have a modular boiler, you know, several,
right,
and I turn boiler one on, and it, let's say it stays on for an hour. The next time I have a call for heat,
really,
I'm going to turn boiler number two
sequential
on,
control.
And I'm going to record that amount of time on the controller.
Wow, from an engineering aspect, that really simplifies the build of it, because now we can use a single control in a mechanical room for a variety of different equipment functions.
I don't think you're going to find too many controllers with this much functionality at this price point.
Okay. And it's interesting when you start talking about communicating. So we have a communicating sensor as part of the control itself. Is that something that can be monitored remotely then?
Yes. So every one of the controllers, the chipset that we're using, is broadcasting a local Wi-Fi signal.
Really?
So I can actually upload new firmware to the device through a local Wi-Fi. I can also download and upload config files. So let's say today, if I'm in a manufacturing environment, I want to manufacture the same commercial refrigeration equipment, and I don't want to, you know, turn the knob and configure each device
individually.
I can configure what I want as a configuration, and then I can download that through Wi-Fi.
Copy it.
To my PC, right? And then in a production environment, I can take a USB-C cable and I can plug it in to this USB-C port. And because I'm getting power from my computer, I don't even have to power the control system.
Oh, it can be standalone?
Because it's getting power from the USB cable.
I can program this at the shop and have it ready to go to send out on the job site.
I can set up all of my my modules, and I can have them programmed, pre-programmed, without even powering them.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Through the computer.
Wow, you put a lot of thought and design into this.
Well, a lot of customer, voice of customer.
Yeah, a lot of industry input.
So it's a little bit difficult to see here, but if you take a look on the right side of this last module, which is the expansion module.
Sure.
In this case, it's a relay expansion module. You can see where this controller, or this sensor rather, this A2L sensor, is wired in.
Connects
into
it.
And this has physical room for two sensors to be connected. If I need to have more physical space for more A2L sensors, we have a modular similar to these, that's called a junction wiring module, that will accommodate up to six A2L sensors.
No kidding.
So, you know, again, those are things that when we first got our pre-production samples out and speaking with our OEM customers, they're like, well, in some cases, we're going to need more than two sensors.
Right.
So what can you do to accommodate us? So
simple. Add another module.
Exactly. Add another module. That's the flexibility of this system.
Well, I think, Keith, what makes it nice is that from the technician standpoint, you can name the application, right?
Mm-hmm.
You understand what sensor in every application if there's an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So what's every tech want? Information before I go to the
job site
with what the problem is, where it is, and what I think I'm gonna have to do or need with me before I get there.
That's the best.
So that's what it's really all about.
So another feature that we've, and I'm going to demo it here, that we've incorporated in the control system is an equipment manufacturer, before they lock down their configuration, they're going to want to make sure, do I have all of my sensors wired correctly?
Yeah.
Do I have my A2L sensors configured correctly? And do I have my controller configured correctly? So we have a function here called test lock, which doesn't lock the controller down permanently.
Sure.
It can be unlocked. And then I can simulate here by a little tool that we have. This has a program in it. And so I'm simulating a sensor. You can see here that this gas type is our 454A,
right?
What we looked at earlier. So it matches what's configured here. And now if I had a sensor hook up to this, which I'm doing through the simulation,
right.
It says there's no leak present.
Right.
But now what I can do is I can simulate.
Oh, I can introduce a leak. A percentage.
A 10%. And you'll see immediately that it comes up and it says, I'm warning now at 10%. And that warning light has now come on.
And so if I had programmed a 10% alarm, I could actually be getting that first stage alarm
right.
in test mode.
And if I were connected to the cloud.
Right. I could see it there.
I could see it on my mobile device.
Absolutely.
In real time.
You also, Keith, about the light on here. Hey, is it big enough? Can I put a big light up?
Like an auxiliary?
To warn me, strobe light at the application to be able to give me that in addition to Wi-Fi communication.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you will see it on the screen here, but more importantly, if you're remotely connected to the device through the cloud,
right.
you're going to see it 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You're going to know the health of your equipment and whether or not the product that you're trying to preserve is at the right temperature.
So I'm assuming we're communicating Wi-Fi. Is there any type of like RS-485 that could be introduced into a standalone or an automated building management system?
Okay, that's a really great question and a lot of requests that we get. So we are working on a module now that will actually
just a module.
Tap in another module
that's
called a communication module.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know this because you've been in the HVACR industry for quite a while. On the refrigeration side, equipment there wants to speak Modbus.
Yep.
Right? On the building automation side or the HVAC side, most of the equipment is speaking BACnet.
Yep.
In our case, mostly MSDP.
Oh, sure. Okay.
So we are working on a communication module that will allow you to basically take all the data that's coming from the control module and pass that along to either your supervisory controller or some type of auxiliary controller.
I think of like as a contractor, if I'm an installing contractor, I kind of want both abilities. I want to be able to have my my cloud access, particularly like if I could set this at a 10%. If I'm a contractor, I don't want the building management system going into an alarm that maybe somebody doesn't even know when it hits 20%. If I could do a cloud recognition at 10%, I can dispatch, show up on site going, I've got an alarm on my side that I'd like to take a look at.
Before shutdown.
Before we get anything. Yeah, that's really nice.
So now I'm at 10% and I'm warning because the light's on here. And then if I take it to 25%, which is above my trip point, you can see now that I've actually gone
alarm.
Into mitigation.
Okay.
Okay, what does that mean? Well, I've turned my compressor off.
Right.
And I'm turning my evap fans on.
Get circulation.
To dissipate the concentration of refrigerant to get it below that 20% LFL trip point.
Absolutely.
I'm going to now clear. So I'm going to basically assume now that that leak is stopped, or at least the amount of refrigerant has leaked out and I've dissipated it.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm going to clear my leak. And now you can see that I've gone into a countdown.
Right.
And by the UL standard, I have to keep it in basically this kind of wait mode for 5 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. Transitional soft lockout mode.
The new firmware that we have will actually count this down. Right now, I have to just kind of wait
for
this 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Once it's done, then I can confirm the alarm and it will go back into its normal mode.
You know, one of the things that I've seen on some of our larger capacity, especially if we get into like that M3 status where we have high refrigerant charge and we may require additional strategies, like maybe a pump down mode using an additional solenoid. Are those types of controls part of the modular?
Yes. So again, most of those schemes that you talked about, whether it be isolation valves or a pump down, you're going to control through relay.
No kidding.
Wow. So you have the ability to control your relays in the normal mode. Mm-hmm. You decide, okay, when the temperature isn't satisfied, do I want my compressor on or compressor off in normal mode?
Yep.
And then when it goes into mitigation, what do I want the status of those
then
to be? And what's important with that is it gives you the flexibility, for instance, with an isolation valve, right? It'll probably be a normally open set of contacts.
Right.
Well, whether you lose power or whether you go into mitigation, you want those isolation valves to be closed. So you have to have the way to configure it so that they're in the proper state when you go into mitigation and when the power is off.
Makes complete sense.
So there's a lot of flexibility here. And you do that, again, by adding the expansion modules.
Yeah, I'm really liking this idea because you can start with however minimal of a strategy you need up to whatever capability of strategy you need simply by adding the modules and changing the programming.
I mean, we're manufacturers and contractors, if they want, you know, to look at kind of a field engineered solution.
Yeah.
Where they get the most out of a controller like this is use the full functionality.
I see that.
So that's where, you know, a combination of temperature control or temperature and humidity control or temperature, humidity, and pressure control with the A2L leak detection and mitigation.
You know, I guess I almost skipped past that. So we're not talking about just a A2L detection and mitigation. We're talking about a full system controller.
Correct. Correct.
With A2L detection and mitigation.
Yeah. And then, like I said,
well,
I mentioned it before, but modular chillers, modular boilers, or it could be single stage chiller, single stage boiler, you know, all of your refrigeration applications. So we have all the defrost modes incorporated in here.
Oh, wow.
Off cycle defrost, electric defrost, hot gas bypass,
right,
and adaptive defrost. So adaptive is where it actually learns and it optimizes the defrost cycle.
Yep, absolutely. We're seeing that a lot as we move forward because we can now manage those defrost cycles using some temperature thermistors and occasionally a transducer. We can monitor the actual, you know, coil temperatures.
From a standpoint, it's absolutely necessary.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, if we think about, if we got an ambient temperature that is, you know, 40 degrees, why do I go into defrost? I've already got some heat out there that I can utilize if I'm managing my defrost properly.
That's correct.
And then I can control the lengths of those cycles. There's a lot of flexibility in managing defrost, and we're going to be able to, we're going to handle a lot of capability then with the single modular control.
Yeah. Let's see, if we're in countdown or not. Looks like we're still in countdown, so we will let it. Oh, okay, we finished countdown now, and now you can see the screen.
Mm-hmm.
It's saying confirm that now we can go back into normal mode. And that's, you know, again, because we're connected via Modbus, we can tell why did the controller alert, why did it alarm? We can tell the difference between a refrigerant leak and a sensor failure or a sensor that went end of life. And that's one thing I'm going to talk about now.
Okay.
Because we can see the LFL level.
Yeah.
In addition to the features that I talked about, there's also a 0 to 10 volt output that you can, again, tie into a supervisory controller, and it will tell you the highest LFL value of any sensor connected to the controller.
Okay.
So in this case, we know, because we saw the 25% LFL, but specifically, as Bill talked about earlier, you have the ability to name your sensors, so you can actually tell, okay, it was the number one sensor that's located on the left-hand side of the evaporator coil, and I know that's the one that I need to pay attention to on the leak side.
Oh, now that's really adding some features to it. You know, if we think about a system that has multiple sensors and we're tracking that LFL, and now we can actually track and graph, we can monitor. You know, what if I have a sensor picking up a small amount of refrigerant leak at a particular time every day? Now I can go back and look at my trends and go, oh, that's when we went into hot gas defrost. I better start looking for a leak on that loop.
Sure. Yeah, that's a good, that is a very good point. So again, this is an intelligent system. It's full featured. It gives you the ability to expand your outputs on either adding relays or adding analog output. So very, very flexible in terms of control types.
Will this be hitting the market pretty soon?
It was released last October.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, it was released last October. We've been working with OEMs.
Yeah.
So you know the first compliance date was January 1 of this year for AC equipment. So most of the AC manufacturers that are using this have already, you know, they've already complied with UL or ETL or some other agency. And now we're continuing to work with commercial refrigeration manufacturers that, again, see the benefit of having a control that can do not only A2L leak detection and mitigation, but also some of the other functions that they're using the controller for today.
You bet. Well, you look at a refrigeration manufacturer. You know, if I am a component manufacturer and I'm going to be producing a, say, an evaporator coil, and I don't know what refrigerant that is going to be installed on, I now have one controller. If I'm in an A1 refrigerant, I just need my primary controller. Yeah. If I'm going to be going onto an A2L system, I'm just adding a module, and now I'm completely in compliance with that same base control.
Yeah, because you don't have to use A2L leak detection and mitigation.
Yeah,
you can. When it comes from the factory, it's disabled.
Yeah.
If you want to use it, you enable it.
I think a lot of the customers we talked to, Keith, too, right? A year and a half ago, it was, oh, I've got to have a new controller designed, or I've got to go back and have my $5,000 controller capable of accepting sensors. And, you know, we're coming in with a simple but very high value option for them, and it's been amazing how many of them have said, yours is plug and play for me.
Oh yeah,
I don't have to redo my full controller for the building and everything else. It fits right in. And it's a cost effective option to what we have. Now you're almost starting to get into the sensor side when you're starting to talk about that. Keith kind of leads into not just technology, but what's continuing to evolve.
Yeah,
talk about.
It's an evolving landscape.
Yeah, so this particular sensor uses sound technology.
Yeah.
So it's the fastest sensor out there. Sound technology is relatively new to leak detection, but we've had several now of our customers actually do specific testing to make sure the sensor was picking up the right concentration, and all of them, the results have shown that they're within spec, certainly within spec. Yeah. So speed of sound, simply put, there's two stainless steel discs behind this hydrophobic screen.
Yep.
This hydrophobic screen allows gases to pass through, but sheds liquids. So as that refrigerant leaks and that gas then pools inside the sensor cavity, then it's going to measure not only the sound wave, it's going to measure that, because part of UL60335 is that it's self-monitoring.
Right.
So every minute it checks its calibration against a temperature and humidity baseline. Why? Because speed of sound changes based on temperature and humidity.
Right.
Right. So it's got a temperature and humidity sensor
as well
in the technology
to compensate for changes in environmental conditions.
Yeah, not only that, but it has a countdown. So the life is 15 years.
Right.
Because it's communicating through Modbus, it is counting down how many days are left on the sensor. When it gets to 90 days from the end of life, if you just have the controller here, it's going to give you a badge or an alert saying you need to change
out
your sensor.
We're approaching this point. Right.
And then if you're connected to the cloud, you're going to get start getting alerts on your smart device. So, you know, at some point, if you don't change the sensor out, it's going to go end of life.
Right.
And then your system's going to be down. So that's another point of smart. Smart is not only, is it functioning correctly, is it within its lifespan?
And that's been a big concern of technicians. You know, what is the life expectancy? How often do I need to replace these? There's been a lot of miscommunication amongst technicians, not understanding that these have a life expectancy that's typically in the range of the equipment, and understanding that some of our better sensors, I know this one very well, I've been studying the different types of technology we're using, and it really has been a very accurate sensor, and the whole communication component where the sensor actually knows its life and can give us those alarms really simplifies the whole maintenance side.
How do you make
the
contractor's life easy?
That's it.
Right? I mean, everybody's got so much going on. The more information we can share with them, the smarter they are when they go out on the job site.
Yeah.
Now, the other sensor that's been out there for a while, not only for A2L, but for space sensing, is NDIR, non-dispersive infrared. It's reliable, it's just not as fast as speed of sound.
Yep.
And when you're talking about refrigerant leaks, you know, you want something that's not only reliable, but extremely fast.
I've seen a lot of our refrigerant, even our portable refrigerant leak detection devices going to this technology. And I mean, it's really smart when we think about it. You know, some of our, many of our previous sensors, you know, had heated components to them. And whether they reached a high temperature threshold or not, they were heated components. Mm-hmm. And as we start looking at sensors that are detecting potentially mildly flammable gases using a technology that is low temperature as well as, you know, a lower amount of current, just makes for a smarter decision going forward, I think, personally.
Keith, we want to talk about the next step in the industries on sensors we're working on, right? Everybody came out, one refrigerant, one sensor, the way it works. Now, we're, along with a number of companies, are working on a sensor for multiple refrigerants.
Oh, good. Yeah.
So, 454A,
B,
454C,
C.
Right? 455A on one, air conditioning and heating, 454B, R32. Think of the changes for the contractor on the truck, for the wholesaler on inventory. It just makes, again, how do we make people's life much easier as they get to the job site?
Yeah, so two things here. One that I'll point out, a lot of these sensors look alike. But this one actually is powered by 24 volts.
Constant then.
And it's a Modbus sensor.
Yeah.
Right?
It's fully communicating.
So it will only work with System 550. It requires a 24 volt sensor.
Supply.
And it requires a Modbus communicating sensor.
Nice.
There are sensors that are out there that are a combination of Modbus and relay outputs. But the ones that use relay outputs, they work fine, but they don't have all the smarts that we're talking about here.
And I worry about those having an excessive load. I like a sensor to be a sensor.
Yeah. So the other thing Bill talked about, just to kind of tee off of that, is, yes, I mean, now we've got five different sensors. One that's calibrated for each A2L refrigerant, two on the HVAC side, three on the commercial refrigeration side.
Right.
In the future, what you'll find is there'll be a dual refrigerant on the HVAC side. So we'll have to take some compromises in terms of what the LFL level,
what the refrigerant is programmed for.
And what the trip point is.
Right.
So on the HVAC side, you'll see one sensor for R32 and R454B.
Excellent.
But again, you will have probably a lower LFL trip point because those two refrigerants, their properties are much different.
And the refrigeration side of things
is different. Yeah.
So you take worst case and go with that for
your base.
Yeah. And on the commercial refrigeration side, there'll be, as Bill said, there'll be three refrigerants, starting with R454A, then R454C, and then R455A. So again, we will calibrate to what we call a lead refrigerant, and that will set the LFL trip point.
Makes sense.
Yeah, interesting discussions too with propane.
Yeah.
Keith and I have spent a lot of time talking to customers who are saying, hey, we'd like this type of setup if our industry in North America decides we're going to go with bigger charges than the 500 grams we have today, right, on self-contained. They're doing that in other parts of the world. Can you bring this kind of capability?
It's perfect for that.
For propane.
Yeah.
What we're saying is, as the industry evolves, right, not just propane, but other refrigerants, then those are opportunities we'll take advantage of to have a solution for the customers out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the same sensors, because it's really the technology, can be used for R290.
It can be reprogrammed for different LFLs.
They can be used for CO2 as well.
Yeah, for sure. And that's the thing is, you know, having this flexibility of, you know, being prepared for whatever is next. You know, our president, you know, Howard Weiss, he always says, we don't know what the next refrigerant is.
Yeah.
It might be milk. And if it is, we're just going to educate an industry on how to work with milk. And having a modular design gives us that flexibility of whatever comes next, we have minimal transition for that technician. And you're right, it's that, what's the easy button for them? Is it a matter of replacing a sensor and doing a little programming as we make a refrigerant change? Sounds like a pretty easy solution to me.
I mean, we all would like some stability for the next few years as we get everybody trained up in understanding the application. So hopefully we're not going to have too many changes in the foreseeable future here.
Sure. Yeah, this will get us through that in that process. Yeah. All right. And so are these available directly from Johnson Controls or the local distributor? What is the process?
So we have actually we've discontinued one of the families that started the modular control system mm-hmm. 350. And so we actually have another version of system 550 that has one sensor input, doesn't have A2L leak detection mitigation.
Okay.
And we've completed the firmware for that product. That is now available for purchase. We're in production now, and that's called our C550A control modules.
Okay.
So what you see here is a C550C.
Yep.
The A's are kind of more simplistic controls.
Standalone.
Replace system 350 or to replace the old analog controls. What's unique about them is that they have a guided setup.
Oh, okay.
So similar to you replacing like a spark plug in your car, where you go in and say, okay, I've got this make and model of
Here's
car.
My cross-reference.
You just basically go into the dial.
Mm-hmm.
You dial what
your
control
previous
module
was.
You're replacing,
mm-hmm.
and it will walk you through everything you need to do to configure that device.
Very cool.
You go through, you configure that, and then you're done. We're now releasing firmware version 1.2.
Mm-hmm.
Once that is in production, then we will allow product to flow not only to our OEM customers, but also our network of authorized wholesalers.
Very
so
cool.
So that's coming up at the end of August, beginning of September.
Yep. You know, one of the things that you'd mentioned was the cloud availability for monitoring. Are there any programs or services that are available for doing the remote monitoring if I don't have an existing building management system that I'm going to be tying into?
Well, this would allow you to do that.
Okay.
And it using the same, you know, safety or security protocol that a banking system would use.
Oh, wow.
So double encryption type of technology. We use it in our EZI controllers.
Yeah,
in fact, that's where it trickled down.
Oh, sure.
It trickled down from our EZIO. We're
yep.
using the same chipset, but with extended memory in the System 550.
That makes sense now.
Yeah. So okay. with a license that you buy through a subscription.
Yeah.
And you can buy either one license, you can buy 25 licenses, you can buy 50, you can buy 100. The more licenses you purchase at one time, the lower the annual cost of that
sure.
subscription.
Yeah, I bet. Very good.
So you can do that today by purchasing a license.
Okay. A lot of solutions in a small package.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Simplicity with capability. I mean, that's the real key. It's giving you all the capability you need, but not having someone sit there for an hour frustrated in how to set it up. It's easy, it walks you through it, right? You can get it done, you've got the capability and the value you get in this compared to brand new control systems and everything else. It's absolutely tremendous.
I can see that. I think it's going to be the name of this episode, Simplicity with Capability. I like that a lot. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
We're really curious to learn more about the products as we make these transitions and evolutions. Where can the audience learn more about Johnson Controls and the solutions that are provided by Johnson Controls?
Yeah, probably the best place to go is to the Penn Controls website.
Yep.
And that's penncontrols.com. You'll see a whole section on System 550 and anything else we offer under the Penn brand name.
Very good. All right. So everyone check it out. Learn a little bit more about our A2L transition and the solutions that are available to you. Thank you, gentlemen.